honourable members.
Chairperson, I am the chairperson of the South African Heritage Resource Agency. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I've tried to summarise. I'm with the members of council here. Five of them are men, and two of them are women. and I've also got the former chairperson here with me today. And the executive team is here. The CEO is here. The legal advisor is here.
Why are you so proud of telling the agenda?
No,
it is very shocking. You all came with a very disruptive presentation. You need to tell us, five men, and we are so bold. Okay.
Chairperson, I'm not sure this is not a complete answer.
You didn't tell the complete answer. How many men and how many women? So you were just that sharp on opening the mouth. I'm a gender activist.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And there's somebody who knows that amongst yourselves that I'm not going to tell who is that. He knows he grew under the mother who taught me what is gender.
We take note of that. We are an organization created through an Act of Parliament, that is the National Heritage Resource Act 25 of 1999, in terms of that section as stated on the presentation. The person of the picture you see there is the former chairperson of the council, and I've just been nominated about 3 months ago, chairperson. Chairperson, just to give some background, in around 2013 or so, there was a process which was initiated by the Council of SARA, which is a procurement process. And in that process, culminated in 2015, when at that time an SLA was signed between SARA and a company called Annex Consulting. So what happened then thereafter is that council approved the design and the concept of the transformation of the Devon Wood Museum, which is in France. That happened in 2015, July. Then what happened there as part of the process is that the CEO of SARA then, who was delegated, given authority to project manage and also approve some of the payments to the value of about 24 million. As the procedure or internal audit during that time conducted some audits and raised some findings in the process, and then pertaining to the SLA that was signed with SARA and Annex Consulting. So furthermore, the National Treasury then also intervened and conducted a preliminary investigation into the SLA that was signed between SARA and Annex. And then they compiled what we call a verification report. And that verification report raised a number of issues that I will share them with you, Chairperson. Okay. And after the verification report from National Treasury, they then appointed a company called PwC, which was appointed on behalf of SARA to conduct a forensic investigation. The purpose of that appointment was to address some of the concerns which were raised on the verification report, which was done by National Treasury. And some of the concerns, if I may mention, Chairperson, if time allows me, not all of them, but just some of the concerns which were raised included whether Annex which is the private service provider which was appointed, acted negligently when managing the project, and whether there were signs of abuse and negligence. The second one was whether the appointment of the other contractors and other service providers which were appointed by the Annex Consulting was done in a fair and a transparent manner. Then the other one was whether all payments made was done in line with the scope of work and the bill of quantities. And then the second two last concerns was whether the scope of work was increased on to benefit the service provider. Then the last one, which I'll mention, Chairperson, was whether the defects identified in the work which was done in France, identified by the Department of Public Works, were subsequently resolved by ANIC. So that's where PwC comes in. So when PwC was appointed, they then did an analysis of the bank statement of the service providers. And then when they were doing the analysis of the bank statements which were provided, they indicated a total of about 24 million, which was paid to the service providers from the foreign Grace bank account. And the summary is provided on the screen. You will notice that on the screen there are about six service providers which have got asterisks on them. Those six service providers are those that were subsequently appointed through a deviation which was done, approved by the then CEO of the entity on the 23rd of July. And then, Chairperson, the next slide also shows the further analysis of the bank statement which was done by PwC, showing all the figures that were identified during the analysis. And the period there is from the 1st of May 2015 to the 23rd of May 2017. So the summary is on the slide, Chairperson. So based on the PwC report, they came out with a number of recommendations, and that report was presented to us. Which I believe, Chairperson, the previous portfolio committee has got a copy of that, and the department has a copy of the report from PwC. So the first recommendation from the report was that disciplinary action should be taken against Ms. Patuza, who is was the CEO of SARA, for contravening the legislative precepts and practice norms. And the supply chain management policy of the entity. And then the second one was whether SARA should assess the extent to which the CEO at the time and the CFO at the time, as well as the service provider and its consulting, can be held liable for the losses on the project. And then the third one was SARA should recover all VAT overcharge, because there were issues of VAT overcharge on the invoice done by the service provider. So whether SARA could be able to recover the VAT overcharge and determine whether any disciplinary action should be taken against some of the officials involved in the payment process. And then the fourth one was to engage with the law enforcement agencies in the country for them to determine whether any SARA officials illegally benefited from the irregular appointment of Annex Consulting, as well as the subsequent extension of scope of work at the time. And then the sixth one was to institute a further investigation into payments made to service providers, as you can see the list that I've shown earlier, namely Trans-Pacific, Creative Access, Annex Consulting, to the law enforcement agencies to quantify the loss suffered by the entity and, if possible, initiate recovery processes. Then the last recommendation was to consult with legal advisors to determine what amounts can be reclaimed from Annex Consulting and to commence with the process. So in terms of the outcome of the processes after we have received the recommendation from PwC, the Council of SARA then therefore charged the then CEO and then was requested to make an oral or a written representation to the committee which was appointed by the Council at the time, and that time was in December 2018. And then she was charged, and about 10 charges were leveled against her. And then she then chose to make a written presentation to the committee. The committee considered the representation made by her, and then after careful consideration found her guilty on all the charges, and the recommendation was made by the committee to the council that the CEO be dismissed with immediate effect. The council considered the recommendations that were provided by the committee, adopted it, and then they then took a final decision to implement that decision to dismiss her immediately, which happened on the 14th of January 2019 this year. So upon receipt of the decision of council, the CEO did the matter to CMA of unfair dismissal. She was not necessarily challenging the substantive fairness of the matter, but she was challenging the procedural fairness of the process. And right now, Chairperson, the matter is still with the CCMA. And when council looked at the recommendations of the report from PwC, they identified that three other officials were implicated who are internal in the organization. And based on the severity of the charges that the implications of the other three officials in the organization, council decided to institute disciplinary processes for the three officials. And this was done, it was concluded, and the conclusion was that a final written warning was then given to the three officials, and they're still in the employ of the entity. As I conclude, Chairperson, I must indicate that consequence management was implemented as the other three implicated officials were issued with the final written warning. As I said, they are still with the entity. A criminal case was opened and is currently under investigation by the HOC, and the SIU has been issued a proclamation by the President and is conducting a further forensic investigation to quantify the losses incurred by the entity as per the PwC report. That almost $6 million was paid to the private service provider on both the foreign and the domestic. And Chairperson, that brings me to the end of my presentation. We'll take further questions with the absence of the committee.
Thank you, Chef. We welcome your presentation, but I want to acknowledge one of the entities that is clean, Siyabonga, for your work. Thank you for putting South Africa first than your self-interest. But thank you, honestly. You are not going to be shut down if it was my wish. But others were going to shut them down. Chair, on a lighter note. Chair, I wanted to find out what is the policy yet deviation? And how much does it, you know, the different policies in different companies, what is your policy on deviation for a CEO just to approve the deviation of? Because I see a lot of money for deviation and it's allowed. But how much is it, and what is your policy says about deviation? I was just checking the total amount of the different. It's the project is 24 million, but now you've used 56, and the difference is 32.
And
you know, it's too much, and I don't know, that's why I'm asking first. Let me get the response to deviation and other issues and the investigation. I'll come back. Ask me how this cut here isn't allowed.
I'm saying put the second question in order that you must not take second round.
No, it's fine. I want, you know, I'm not, sorry, Chair, I'm not making dialogue. Mm-hmm. I'll get a response and it will be easy for me to analyze it the way they respond, because I'll make myself a full list that can know exactly what I'm going to say.
Okay,
Chairperson, thank you for the presentation. I do have a few questions. Annex Consulting that was appointed, is there no screening process? Was there no screening process? Because in 2010 there was also allegations in the media on an 82 million contract that was awarded to this company and different other corruption. So for me, in the first, that would have raised red flags. Now I know that the CEO acted on her own, but was the board nowhere in the where was the board? Why didn't they sign off? And I saw on the irregular expenditure 2014, it was, or 2015-16, it was 30,209,519. And then it's also 20 million in 2016-17. Now the first amount, that 30 plus million, would have already raised red flags. And I was just, again, if the board chairperson was involved, as the allegation said, where is that board chairperson and what? How was he held accountable? Because that's also a part of the problem in our entities, is that the board chairpersons, the board, get away with a lot of, it's just a 5-year term, they get a lot of money, and they don't really act. Also, it says that the CEO signed off without prior council approval. Now, after that happened, what did the council then actually did to act on that misbehavior of the, specifically before the money was then spent, before they started to allocate the money? That was one question that I wanted to ask. With regard to the disciplinary processes undertaken to the three officials, can we just get what the complaint was? And then also with regards to these three people specifically, I believe that there was also criminal charges laid against those implicated. What is the status of that? The CEO was then dismissed on the 14th of January 2019. Was she only dismissed, or what implications is there with regards to the fact that she signed off all that money? Is it just going to the criminal cases against her? Was there any cases specifically against her, and what is the status of that? Because that's really a matter of concern if you think that a lot of money has been spent on issues on that specific one. Then I have a totally different question that I also want to ask questions on.
You wanted that they must respond now.
Okay.
If we are asking 8 questions,
okay.
Why so I'm not saying 10, but I'm not saying don't ask questions, but I've indicated the time limitation that we are taking.
Chairperson, we can write the questions and then we want responses on this. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. I concur with the fellow colleague, this has been a very lovely, well taken care of, I would say, department within this art fraternity. But, nevertheless, I have you know, just two questions that I would love to throw in. We are aware of the images that are being created, you know, as that they are creative forces within, you know, for our kids and everyone. I just have two images that I don't like within your pictures, and these people look black, and this one is like sitting like you know, he is doing something dreadful. And another one is the picture of this guy that is pulling, you know, a cart. I don't know whether it's supposed to be a rickshaw or something, but still, yeah, it doesn't look like he's like one. And I just have a problem with that. Really, the pictures, you know, the people we are, and I don't think that they kind of teach us. I don't think, yeah. And do we know the people that run these companies, Trans Pacific Creative Access or Annex Consulting, and if we know them, who are the top guys of these companies that are showing money? And
but on what the Honourable Member and others were questioning about the different finances or whatever. What we've discovered in this collectively is that monitoring has been, which is a very good initiative. That's why our department, when it's coming here, every now and then we are seeing something. So you must understand that we are motivating that go and look on these monitoring systems in your entities, both of you. But once we are better off, but we are saying that the gaps that we have seen, that when you wanted to check with our department, we have monitored them and we have seen that there's something wrong with our entities. Maybe they are relaxing, maybe they don't know that in 10 they must come and account and come to the department as well as when they are accounting to the committee. We do scrutinize themselves first and then the entities. So by those words, I'm not going to say anything. If we can answer a few of these questions that the members have asked. Thank you for your presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start off by saying that in terms of, I will start with the last question. My CEO will assist me to respond to some of the other questions. But I want to say that in terms of our internal controls, the internal audit of the entity was the one that raised the flags in the beginning. And then that was followed by the National Treasury, who then compiled a verification report, which culminated into the appointment of PwC, which then came out with all these other findings. And then the question about why, where was the council at the time when all these things were happening? We have seen that at the time when the internal audit raised the flags, it was during the previous council, not the council that ended their term this year. And the council that ended the term last year are the ones that when they started their term, it was at the time when the verification report from the National Treasury had come out, and that and as a result, they were responsible for the investigation from that time onwards. Chairperson, on the other questions, I think the CEO will also assist here.
Thank you so much, Chairperson, and good afternoon to all honourable members. Thank you so much for having us today. I'll try and be brief. I was one of the people, Chairperson, who was actually assisting the forensic team with the investigation. I would start with, and I'm hoping the colleagues also here have taken the question so that I don't miss anything. There was a question about 24 million and how did we go up to the amount that we are looking at, the 42 million of 42 million rather. The first proposal to the then council led by Mr. Makanya, the budget was 20 million, but after the visit in France, it was revised to 24 million. And at that time, it was the chairperson. The former chairperson, Mr. Makanya, the CEO, and Amex Consulting, who went to France, and they came back and they revised the budget to 24 million, and that was what was approved by council at the time. However, during the December 2015, when there was a shift in the Minister of Finance, this is what was presented now to council at the time, because at that time I was company secretary and head of legal services, so I was involved, I was in the meetings throughout. So what was presented was that because of that change, our economy took a dive, and that also affected the exchange rate, because the project was based in France. So they came back, there was a special meeting that was held on the 16th of March 2016, wherein now the Amit Consulting, together with the CEO, asked the council to review that 24 million budget and to make it to 39 million. And the 39 million was the final variation from council. They said that they would never allow anything beyond the 39 million. So what you see now, the other variation that you see, it was not approved. And this is what was found in the investigation itself. I'm not sure, Honorable Member, when you're asking about if there was no screening at the time with regards to Amix Consulting, I think from even in all the investigations, starting from the internal audit investigation that was done internally by our own internal audit function, assisted by NCM EY, including the verification report or preliminary investigation that was done by National Treasury, there were no findings on the process of appointing banks. Everything was done properly in terms of our procurement. So we could not pick up or go out and see if there was anything that was found against Annex somewhere else, because our procurement process was adequate, it was done properly, and there were no findings in all the reports, including this report by Peter in terms of appointing Annex. The only challenge that happened, it was during the implementation, wherein they now changed the scope completely from what was at the time. They increased the scope without proper following again, because if you increase the scope, then it means you have to go back and tender from scratch, which was not done. And it is one of the findings from the report. With regard to three other internal officials, there are recommendations. I think we made a mistake, Chapter 20, when you were talking about the recommendations against them, because there's nothing that was recommended in the report itself against the three officials, other than there were findings against them. And we wanted to implement the consequence management, because some of the officials, it was not their own doing. They were intimidated to sign certain things. They were forced to sign certain things at the time. So upon their representation, when we were conducting the investigation or rather disciplinary process against them, they responded adequately. Hence, the institution decided to give them final written warning, all three of them. There is a criminal case. Both the report from the National Treasury, as well as this report, recommended that there must be a criminal case that must be pursued. And that criminal case was opened in July 2017 against the CEO and the former chairperson. Maybe then this would respond to the question that was asked, what did we do with the chairperson at the time? There was nothing that we could do internally because his term came to an end. But the law enforcement agencies, both the SIU and the HOF, are looking into him as well. So I think then it would be those reports that would determine now what are the next steps that would be taken against them. We don't have a policy on deviation because we follow the PFMA. And any deviations, you have to write to Treasury and you must get a prior approval from Treasury. And in this case, this was not done because this is the information that was withheld to the council at the time. So this is something that the CEO has done on the side, and it was discovered, this letter, by the internal auditor when they were investigating at the time, that there was this letter that gave Admix Consulting approval to use their preferred service providers and not follow procurement processes. We apologize for the pictures. We will make sure that we are sensitive. With regards to the service providers, let me go back to the slide. Again, here, council was misinformed at the time, because the reason why the former CEO was given special delegation, she requested that because the tight time frames of executing the project were tight, therefore she requested that she's given a special delegation, because most of these service providers would be appointed internationally. And in that list, only two that are international. It is Tech, number two, and number five, which is French Tech. All of the other service providers are South African-based companies, not the international companies, except for the two, Transpacific and French Tech.
Honourable members, the time now is 13:08.
Chair, on a lighter note, why the picture of the presentation chairperson? It has the picture of a former chairperson and the chairperson, and they're all wearing the same clothes.
We have listened as first. Honourable members, can I thank you about having understand about what happened today about so many entities, but seemingly you are going to prepare when you are talking to them again. But also to the visitors who have come here, our entities, thank you so much. You have given the information. What I like about the members, constructively telling you where the gaps are and what information that we want in both of you. So we love that information which the committee members are keen to get coming after the suspension, coming back, we're also going to put you again in our program in order that you come and give us that information. We want to know this department in order that when you are doing the oversight, because we're calling you here. And I will go out to check whether these things are happening in order that you must come back and tell our department that you are from ABC and you have seen ABC. With those words, thank you so much. It was a good meeting, though. Very informative. Gaps are there, but this is not enough.